Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad, calling from our show, Reparations Radio, and I'm trying to pull up the studio right now and see what's going on. All praises be to Allah. We open up with prayer. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin arrahmanir rahim maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. Collective purchase conference
and reparations. Collective purchasing conference and reparations.
This is the name that I think would fit better into the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Collective Purchasing Conference is an organization, an idea, an ideal that Imam W.D. Muhammad, gave to our community and had us invest in that. And he taught that we should pool our money together and we should go overseas for the best price and we should buy commodities and bring them back to the United States and sell them to everybody we can. He called the program CPC. CPC. And it's Collective Purchasing Conference. So that's what we're going to call our movement here, Collective Purchasing Conference and Reparations. Collective Purchasing Conference and Reparations. So all praises be to Allah. There's nobody in the queue right now. Nobody have their hand up to say anything. Yeah, the reparations movement is moving right along. It's growing. Some very powerful people, influential people, rich people are talking about reparations, coming up with different plans, different ideas. And all praises be to Allah. So I don't know. I kind of got the feeling. I was thinking about Collective Purchasing Conference. I was thinking about Imam W.D. Muhammad. Imam W.D. Muhammad, they've had ideas about reparations out for a long time. But Imam W.D. Muhammad never did really talk too much about reparations. And in fact, he never talked about reparations. And, yes, all praise be to Allah. It's, right now, it's going to be what they call out here in California and Los Angeles, a taste of soul, which is the annual event in the month of October that is sponsored by the Sentinel newspaper and the owner of Sentinel newspaper, Danny Bakewell. He's a very powerful and rich African-American out here, and he gives these affairs, and he shuts off maybe 2 miles of Crenshaw Boulevard, and he has over 500, they say, booths, vendors, over 500 vendors, 400 vendors, I think his son said yesterday. So they're setting up and they're blocking off the road and doing other things to get ready for the event. You know, all praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. Excuse me. So I don't see anybody in the queue. Anybody? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Press one on your phone if you want to say something, and you should pop up in the queue here. You should pop up in the queue, and I'll recognize you and bring you into the conversation. We have been talking about reparations and collective purchasing and reparations. Collective purchasing, CPC, collective purchasing conference. Collective purchasing conference. Collective purchasing conference and reparations. Collective purchasing conference and reparations. Yeah. If anybody want to say something, press one on your phone. We'll bring you into the queue. Right now they're getting ready getting ready for tomorrow here on Crenshaw Boulevard at 39th Street, where they have what they call the Taste of Soul. The Taste of Soul. Well, let me hear. Take my medicine. I'm just getting over a cold. And I have medicine to take. And let me take this medicine. And I'm parked on 39th Street, but I think they're going to run me off. Ask me to leave. Because you can't park here in between 6 o'clock Friday and 6 o'clock Sunday. Anybody with their hand up? Not yet. I don't see anybody. Praise be to Allah. And it's 8 minutes after 6. And I'm wondering if anybody want to say something. Anybody in the queue? Praise be to Allah. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad. Open up with prayer. We made the prayer. We'll be opened up. I don't see why we can't make another prayer, because we love our God. Our God is this God. We love one of the kings. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد إياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. So it's 10 minutes after 6. Here another about 20 minutes. So somebody want to ask a question, say something? Yeah, I think we'll call it the Collective Purchasing Conference Movement. The Collective Purchasing Conference Movement. And reparations. Collective Purchasing Conference Movement.
We're
walking
in time. I
think
Mark
House is going. Yeah, praise be to Allah. Yeah, we gotta keep going. Collective Purchasing Conference Movement for reparations. Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think? I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think? Press one on your phone. Give your opinion about Collective Purchasing Conference Movement. Collective Purchasing Conference Movement. Collective Purchasing Conference Movement. Praise be to Allah. No one, I want to say something, ask a question, make a statement. Press one on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue. Okay? Press one on your phone. Praise be to Allah.
So she throwing that water, but he doesn't shape it.
His situation, and he's just talking about it. And in his own words, let's take a listen to what Dante had to say with Tamron Hall.
Some of the things aren't true. Some of the things are, you know, specifically. The only thing I found a problem with is just the nude photo, and it was an accident because it wasn't a salacious photo at all. It was my progress, and I was losing weight, and you know, I was trying my best to, you know, get in shape, and so it wasn't a sexual photo, if you know what I mean, in any way. And
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know. So if you're coming out of Burbank, it's okay. cross over the 134, that 5 south would be slow, all the way down to the 10. Okay, see, stick with the 5, get out of the East LA interchange, and that 5, of course, slow as always, down towards the 605. Tips to Mark, let me know if you're on the Duke Glendale Freeway southbound right before you get to your Mountain Street exit here in Glendale. That's some debris. Looks like metal debris in your right lane. So watch out. You got some folks swerving to get around that. The 2 overall is not too bad until you get a little bit closer to the 5. That's for San Fernando Road. You'll see that slowing as everyone tries to get over into their lanes to merge with the 5 freeway. 405 from Venice is still going to be a slow drive into the San Fernando Valley. Just a lot of volume at this point. If you're getting away on the 15, that drive, you know what, I've seen it worse. But I've seen it better as well. It's going to be slow before Glen Helen. And that North 15, by the time you reach 138, speeds will improve. You got some more slowing up ahead once you get up to 395. That might be due to some road work that's beginning. In Orange County, a 405, it's going to be a slow one from the 73 all the way up past First Coast. Matter of fact, it's going to stay pretty heavy up in the Steel Beach. Just a whole lot of folks on the road. That's exactly what's happening. And your 5 most up at Jamboree. Stays tough. Through the crush, really tough, as a matter of fact. By the time you reach Harbor here in Anaheim, your speeds will improve, and that drive doesn't look too bad. Next report, 6:25 from the Toyota Glendora.com 24-hour traffic center.
It will be cooler this weekend, especially across the valleys, where the last few days we have felt 90s and even triple digits in some hot spots. Heading into tomorrow afternoon, we will feel temperatures in the 70s across Los Angeles, 80s in the valleys and our high desert locations, with upper 60s to low 70s in the mountains. Temperatures continue to tumble through Monday. There is a chance of light rain or drizzle developing Sunday night into Monday. With Southern California's most accurate and dependable forecast, I'm KCAL's meteorologist Alex Biston for KNX News 97.1 FM.
Right now, 83 in Covina, 76 in Malibu, 79 degrees in Tustin. KNX connects you to the latest on the Hollywood strike. Well, the writer's strike ended more than 3 weeks ago. Many in Hollywood assumed that the actor's strike would be settled by now as well.
But that's not how the script has played out. Charles Feldman is here with an update.
Joining us now is Deadline senior editor Dominic Patton. Dominic, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So where does that leave SAG-AFTRA, and where does that leave the producers, and where does that leave Hollywood?
Well, right now, I think Hollywood is, put it this way, Halloween's coming a little early, and there's not a lot of trick, and there's not a lot of treat, and there's a lot of nightmares before Christmas, so to speak. I mean, right now, neither side are inclined, nor are they talking. Now, the union, SAG-AFTRA, says they'll talk anytime, any place. The studios and streamers, they walked out on October 11th, and they don't seem inclined to walk back right now. Interestingly enough, though, just a few days ago, when Netflix had their third quarter earnings, they referred to the negotiations as ongoing. Now, that might sound almost Clinton-esque to say, well, how can it be ongoing when you're not talking? But they're saying, of course, they're suspended, which means they could start again. And let's be honest, this is something that happens fairly frequently in union negotiations. The drama seems pretty intense because everybody in and around L.A. County is really feeling a harsh pinch and the squeaking and the squeezing that's happening with this financial downturn from the industry being in shutdown.
Right.
But the reality is that this happens all the time. People go back and forth and back and forth.
Well, I mean, if you had to kind of put this on a sort of a scale of how far apart they are compared to where they were, say, a month ago, is it status quo? Are they farther apart? Are they getting any closer?
I think it's really hard to tell. I think it's a little bit of who you ask and how you ask. Clearly, the biggest sticking point here remains, and it has even before they were in negotiations back in July, is revenue sharing. The Guild has an idea that cast members should share in the success of streaming shows, that there should be some form of extra compensation that comes from them doing that. The studios and streamers say, A, that's great, but you're not taking any of the risk on the success.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, B, we don't think that the metrics you're using are the right metrics. And they're saying, C, this is going to cost us a huge amount of money. The union actually said, okay, we're looking at 2%. Let's bring it down to 1%. Then they went away again. Then they came back with a whole new idea that said this will even be cheaper. And basically it worked out to about 57 cents a subscriber. And for whatever reason, that is what broke the studios. And they said, that's it. We're not coming back. We're taking our ball and going home. I don't know if you can really look at it as closer or further apart. I think that this is a bitter dispute over two very different ways of looking at how money and success in Hollywood needs to be gained.
Where are we in terms of movies and television season? We must be very close to
if not almost right upon, a deadline after which, if there is no settlement agreement, pretty much there's nothing in the pipeline for next year.
I think you're right. I think we are getting very close to that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why when the writers reached a tentative agreement with the studios and streamers, they asked the union, they begged them to lift the restraining orders so those writers could get back to work even as they were voting for ratification, even before they were voting for ratification. And that gave an extra 10 days of scripts, you know, like half of an hour drama, a half of a one-hour drama could be done by then, et cetera, et cetera. I think that the plan was that that would happen, and then the momentum would see things with the actors, and that would be all fixed up and dealt with by the end of this month. And then they could probably get people in front of cameras in front of November.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't think that's reasonable to assume by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know if there's a drop-dead date, but I think that there is a event horizon which we're getting very close to, by which it just simply seems impossible, especially if you take into account people going into Thanksgiving and into Christmas and what have you, of getting anything new on the air by the end of January, which is what I think some of them were looking at. I think what the thing is, though, is let's always remember, the movies and TV can do anything. You know, we all know people who work in those industries in this town, and they'll tell you, like, oh, man, we had to build a whole city by Thursday, and we did it on Wednesday night. So you never know, but it's going to be hard.
Okay, that's Deadline Senior Editor Dominic Patton.
Hey, it's 6:21. Time for a look at your money.
As a lot of us keep on spending, economists are betting consumers and a still robust labor market will keep the unsteady economy from falling into a recession. Those responding to the latest Bloomberg monthly survey say the economy promptly expanded at an annual 3.5% rate in the third quarter, the fastest in nearly 2 years. Pfizer is reportedly jacking up its prices for COVID treatment, Paxlovid. The Wall Street Journal reports Pfizer plans to charge COVID patients about $1,400 for a five-day course of the antiviral drug, nearly triple the amount of $529 the U.S. government paid during the pandemic. And Toyota is joining a growing list of automakers, including GM and Ford, switching to use Tesla's charging standard. Starting in 2025, all Toyota EVs sold in the U.S. will have charging ports designed to work with Tesla's North American charging standard instead of the combined charging system plugs that automakers are currently using. It was a down day on Wall Street. The Dow fell 287 points. The Nasdaq lost 202. The S&P finished 54 points lower. I'm Bloomberg's Erica Herskowitz from the California Deluxe Windows Money Desk, KNX News 97.1 FM.
What is up? It's Evan Lovitz from Social Media's LA in a Minute. There's history everywhere if you know where to look. Join me Tuesdays and Thursdays on KNX News and learn what you didn't know you needed to know about the things that make LA so unique and amazing. It's LA in a Minute on TikTok and Instagram right here on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Brought to you by Skelton's West LA, opening soon at the corner of Olympic and Bundy.
What is up? It's Evan Lovitz from McKennaCars.com. In 1949, when 16-year-old Mike McKenna was arrested for streetcar racing in South Boston, the judge gave him two choices, serve time or serve his country. Mike joined the Marines, and he was sent to Camp Pendleton out here in Southern California, where he met Bob Stevens. Mike and Bob left the service together. They moved to L.A., where Bob's father-in-law was given one of the first Volkswagen dealerships in all of Los Angeles. He asked the boys to join him in the business, and as Beatles gained in popularity, Mike McKenna learned to treat his customers with respect and support. And when Porsche came a few years later, they welcomed the new brand by expanding their sales and service departments. Mike's son, Danny, took over the Volkswagen Porsche operation when his dad moved to Hawaii, and they shared 9 Volkswagen and 3 Porsche stores in California and Hawaii. Now Danny and his kids manage Volkswagen dealerships in Huntington Beach and Cerritos, plus the McKenna Porsche and McKenna Audi dealership in Norwalk. They invite you to visit McKennaCars.com and see how easy it is to lease or purchase a new Volkswagen or Porsche. After 70 years in the business, you'll experience the team that's firing on all cylinders.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Meadow the Great Dane has set a record, giving birth to the largest ever litter at a rescue shelter in North Carolina. Now, the 2-year-old went into labor on Tuesday morning, finished Wednesday morning, giving birth to 15 puppies. Meadow's foster mom says all 15 pups, 12 boys, 3 girls, are doing extremely well, and as you can imagine, eating a lot. Thanks to a People magazine article, Amazon delivery trucks have been arriving at the shelter with donations. Meadow has been in 5 homes since giving birth to a previous litter of 14 in February.
Sadly, though, not all of the puppies survived. This will be Meadow's final litter, and her next home will be her forever home.
For the gourmet cook in your family and just in time for the holidays, Costco's offering a 157-piece top-of-the-line cookware set from La Crusade. The whole package, including cookware, utensils, dishes, a French press, and a variety of other stuff, comes delivered on a pallet. It's going to